Recording.
So we'll start the recording and we'll do the pledge and everything after Dave gets here.
Okay.
Okay, so Dave is running late, so we're going to start the meeting, not totally officially, but we'll have Artsman Hudson go do the presentation first, if that's okay.
Okay, sure. You go ahead and start.
Yes, welcome.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, everybody. Nice to see you. My name is Merritt Minnemeyer. I'm the Grants and Funding Manager for Artsman Hudson, which means that I am in charge of administering the grant programs that we do, including the Ulster County Cultural Services and Promotion Fund, which is the program on behalf of the legislature. So I'm here to talk a little bit today about what we do, our services that we put forth here in Ulster County, and also talk a little bit about a proposal that outlines our request for a 10% increase. I'm actually going to ask maybe Jeff to go first. Is that all right? Would you like to go first?
Sure.
So I brought Jeff with me today. He's from the LGBTQ Center, as you probably know. And I'm asking him to come and speak a little bit about his experience with Artsman Hudson. I could go around the table and ask too. So, and then I'll kind of finish off with my own information here.
Right. So Jeff Rindler, Executive Director over at the Hudson Valley LGBTQ Center. And Artsman Hudson has been a great friend to the center and a really great collaborative partner. Their staff has been excellent, so we received our first grant from them this year, and they provide incredible TA and support, not just in crafting the grant, but making sure it's going to have an impact not just on our community, but a lot of the conversation is about reaching the larger community. So while we're an LGBTQ organization, and certainly some of the work we do reflects that, the idea is to really expand that. It's really a lot about capacity building, and that's how they've been very helpful to us. Also, they've served as pretty much the arts council here in Mid-Hudson. So I know there isn't one presently, so really they've actually done some great work in saving the county money by not having that, but they really have performed that quite a great deal. And so I stand in real support of the increased funding. As Madonna said, music brings people together, but as a gay man, I will say so does art. And I think what's so great about it, again, is that art speaks to people no matter age, race, religion, creed, sexual orientation, gender identity. So I think it really captures the beauty of Ulster County, which we are a melting pot here, and we are all here as one group coming together to really try to improve Ulster.
Thank you.
I don't know if I can follow Madonna. So, and that's a great segue to what I was going to say, which is that art really is a great unifying factor. There is a statistic out there that says that Ulster County has more artists per capita than any other county in the nation. So that's pretty exciting.
I think
there's a difference. And so it's not even so much on paper as art makes great, you know, life great, but it really is serving the people who live here and come and visit here. I have some statistics here that were in the proposal, but I'll just give you kind of the rundown. So we had 380,000 overnight visitors that came to Ulster County in, I believe it was 2016, just for arts and cultural events. We had 1.4 million visitors that came for day events, which directly had an impact of 161 million in income on the county. And our office has 4 full-time employees and 2 part-time employees. And so when Linda Marston-Reed, who most of you know, put this together and she gave this to me, and I said, how do you feel about this proposal? She's like, you know, I am really proud because it's really remarkable the amount, and I'm not saying this because I work there, but like we really serve so many people and we do it in a very efficient way, and we're really, really proud of that. And that's why the New York State Council on the Arts has also made us a model agency for their decentralization program, which is one we also administer here in Ulster County. And those grantees, if you're interested, are also outlined on this proposal. And we have one sitting here at the table.
I'm Margie from Kingston Library. Just really briefly,
yeah.
Artsman Hudson has supported our Teen Art Lab for several years now, and this year it's launched even larger, and we're turning it over to the Department of Regional Art Workers in Kingston, who are going to expand the number of sites, hopefully, that program will have. And it's just remarkable, because I think you guys have heard me talking enough about the evolution and expansion of the role of libraries in our communities. And programming has become a big part of what we do, mm-hmm. and we've been well supported by Arts Mid-Hudson. While Merritt is relatively new, mm-hmm. I'm going to give a plug to Lilia, who is mm-hmm. just unbelievable in that office. Mm-hmm. She has educated me. She's sort of coached me along the road and is really very careful about who they work with and how they work with them. So mm-hmm. I feel like we have been scrutinized and really sort of strengthened.
Vetted.
There we go. But it makes me feel good about what we're doing, because Arts Mid-Hudson really kind of makes sure that you're doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really important to us, because so then we can come to you all and say, look at all the great work that the artists are doing in this community, and that we're handling the funds responsibly and effectively and efficiently. And that's super, super important to us, to all of us. So from the Ulster Arts Awards that we have every summer to our program with you, the Ulster County Cultural Services and Promotion Fund, we are meticulous about how we handle the funds. And we're really conscientious, not just about because it's this responsible thing to do, but because we know that artists struggle with budgets a lot, and they struggle with handling the money, and they don't always think it's their skill set. And we're there to say, you know what, you may not think so, but actually you have some great skills, and you can look at a budget and understand it's a problem to be solved, not something that is out of your realm of consciousness. But you can actually, you know, handle that, and we'll walk you through it. So it's skill building, it's professional development, it's funding, it's capacity building, it's cheerleading. That's my favorite role. I like to cheerlead. And understanding how the arts intersect with every part of our lives. You know, whether it's at libraries, which are serving as incredible community centers, and are often the conduits for many programs that we run. Stone Ridge is another one. Ellenville, a great resource. New Paltz, a great resource.
Pam from Ellenville.
Hi, Pam. How are you?
You can join us at the table if you'd like.
I'm going to come up here. And so we have we are very proud of our relationships with the libraries, because they are increasingly becoming so important centers of the communities, and so much of our arts programming is now running through the library, so it's a great partnership that we have. So that is my spiel. Does anybody have any questions?
Do you have 10? So I know you said 10%, but how much is 10%?
Yeah, so, right.
Do you have a copy of the proposal?
I didn't bring one with me, but I can certainly send one. Okay.
Okay.
I'd be happy to. Sorry about that. Last year our budget was $71,500 allocated in 2017, $47,500 of which was allocated directly to the arts and cultural organizations. So this year we're asking for an increase to $78,750. There we go. Which would ultimately result in $52,250 going directly to the organizations in Ulster County. We are, as I said, we do a lot with a small staff, and we are reaching capacity in terms of our time and resources. And so we're trying to find small ways to be able to meet the demands that we're seeing coming in. It's interesting. We have a grant program right now that deadline is the 15th of November, and we already have about 100 intents to apply. So as you can imagine, it's a lot. It's a lot of work and a lot of things to go through, and to make sure we do it well is takes a lot of time and detail work. So we want to continue to do that well and effectively.
And you're getting more as word is getting out there, right, every year?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So and last year this time we had 60 intents to apply. This year we have 100 as of today. So it's wonderful. It's fantastic. We're so excited about that, and we want to continue to increase our advocacy and our effective relationships and nurturing and skill development with all the artists out there and our partnerships with our organizations. So, yeah. And it's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me.
So that's why we had to go first.
That's right. That's right. So today I want to ask for 25% increase. So anyway, any other questions? And I'll be happy to forward that proposal on.
Okay, great. Yeah. Do you have any questions?
No. Okay. I know you guys do.
Thank you so much. You had an awesome
tremendous job.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. We're pretty proud of what we're doing over there.
It's an important part of the community as well, overall.
And we're proud to be connected to so many other wonderful, amazing organizations that we work with. So it's a pretty great spot to be in. And I live in New Paltz, so yay, Ulster County. Oh, one more thing I want to tell you, too, actually, is that Linda is now spending every Thursday in Ulster County as well. to be here. And we also have a monthly meeting that for Ulster County artists every Thursday, the first Thursday of the month. So we're starting to build our regular, more and more, our regular presence here too. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dave is here at 509.
Do ArtsMint Hudson give they're going to mail us the proposal, so we're going to email the proposal, but they asked for an additional 10% increase.
Right. Can I speak to that?
Sure.
Yeah, we've been, the amount of money we used to do the arts was significantly higher back in the maybe 2008, 2007 area. And then we cut them, I mean, literally in half. Or actually more than that at that point, because we had a budget crisis. And so we've been trying to build them back up to a, of course, it's an economic development that's a very low impact. So we might support that at a
10%.
Yeah. So I do the proposal at a time, so I'm going to have that in advance.
So we'll call
moving
to order.
Yeah, so we have Jennifer on the phone. Can I okay. I can plug
Hi,
your
Jennifer.
Phone in? So hey, Jennifer.
Hi. I ran out of breath.
Okay. Well, we've got you. We've got you here.
Okay.
So I don't think she's gonna. Are you on your way here or?
I don't think I'll make it.
Okay.
All right. I just got picked up in New Falls.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to officially start the meeting, and we'll do the pledge because we waited for you. And then,
all right.
Okay.
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we'll go back onto agenda a little bit. So we'll start off with SUNY Ulster.
Sure.
Yeah. So we'll SUNY Ulster. We will.
Thank you. The president sends his apologies for missing this meeting, so I get the pleasure of speaking in his place. First, the update on the enrollment for this year. For the fall semester, we have some really good results. The enrollment's up 5% versus last year. It's up 7% over our budget. So overall, it's a very good trend. We ended last year, we just closed the books on all of our financial reporting. And because we've been conscious of cost savings the entire year, we're able to set aside about $500,000 towards the fund balance. So this is a very good news for us because we're able to meet the 5% threshold that Middle State says we should be meeting as a safety cushion. On top of that, over the summer, we finished building and renovating the Pfeiffer Center. We had a grand opening a few weeks ago. We finished the leach field, so that's also good for us. And on behalf of the president, I also wanted just to thank the committee for all the support that you guys have provided to the college over the past several years. And if it were not for your support, I don't think we would ever get a lot of the work done that we were able to do. Not only this committee, but also the county, the legislature, the executive office in general. So this is demonstrative of the good work that we've been able to achieve, and hopefully we will continue that progress going into the future. So good results overall for us.
Thank you. That's good news because a couple years ago, we really wanted to get that fund balance up. And
oh, yeah, yeah. We
good work.
For the past 2 years, we've made a conscious effort devoted to that. Actually, over the past 2 years, predating my time here, we've been looking at costs and trying to control costs for almost 3 years. So it's shown good results for us.
Great. So, any questions?
Questions?
No? Good. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Roberts, we missed him. Thank you.
Sure.
Lee, is Melinda coming?
Melanie.
Melanie.
She's on her way.
So. Okay, so I had told her that it would be, so we'll just
For some reason, she thought it was 5:30. So.
Well, I told her we had a really full agenda, so if she didn't get here to 5:30, it was...
Perfect.
Was, you
She's
know.
On her way.
Okay, okay, great. Great. Okay, so now we'll move on to CASA.
CASA.
Hi.
My name is Brooke Nelson. I became the new director of court-appointed special advocates for children of Ulster County in May. Very excited to be here. This isn't the first time I've done this, so I'm very but we have asked for an increase of $3,950. Last year we received 36,000, and this year we're asking for 39,950. We are on an increase. Well, should I first say kind of what the organization does? Okay. So we actually advocate for children in the foster system. So once children have been removed from the home because of abuse or neglect, the family court judges appoint us to cases that they feel would benefit from an extra set of eyes and ears on these children. So our organization is solely made up of volunteers who go through extensive training, and then they're sworn into the court, and we are appointed to cases. These advocates meet with these children at least once a month and speak with school personnel, medical personnel, neighbors, family members to make sure that we get the whole case on how these children are doing and make sure that we're meeting their best interests and that the services are in place that need to be taken in place. And I can tell you every case that I'm on, we definitely solely make, we make a huge impact on these children. Just this morning at a hearing I was at, these children were, a particular child has been having some serious behavioral issues. And because of something we put in our report, the judge recommended that this child get services. So we're making a huge impact. I'm very proud to be part of this organization. So this funding will help us recruit and train more volunteers. I am starting our fall class next Thursday, and so far we have 12 people enrolled in the class, and this is more than we've had in the past, we've probably had about 6 advocates last year start, so this is quadrupling the size of our program. Which I'm really excited about. So since becoming the director, I've sat on several different organization groups, Warson Council, Children's Providers Group, Human Services Coalition, Bringing Agencies Together, Kinship Coalition, SPOA, Children's Vocational Steering Committee, Ulster County Transitional Council, just to make sure that we're all working together and filling in any of the gaps. Yes, sir.
So for the increase that you're requesting.
Yes.
I mean, it's a modest increase, but we have increased them significantly in the past, and I was just curious as to what that is, that specifically by you, that increase, what that is going to help you do about now.
Yeah, so we
have... You have 6. How many people do you have that are advocates now?
So currently we have 15 active volunteers. And looking at our numbers over the past few years, there's been a little bit of a decline, I think, on the number of advocates going through training. So my role is to build this program up. Right now we're serving less than a quarter of the children that we could in Ulster County.
And so ideally every child would have that
benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been really focusing on community outreach. Part of this would be advertising and promotion, and the training supplies for these advocates, and then just the staff to support this program.
I'm always impressed with CASA. I think they do an unbelievably good service for us. We get a hell of a bang for the buck because of what they're doing. I mean, you save one kid from going into a placement, that's $100,000 a year. So the savings can be very significant at what you do. So, and I've always been a extremely strong supporter of CASA throughout my time here, the 24 years I've been here.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, 30 years this year in service.
Yes, I know, and I remember the first time you came, when I first was here, 24 years ago when I first got involved, and it was the CASA, and a lot of people didn't quite understand what it was. But, you know, my thing is it's a very important part of Ulster County that really does a service that is can't be done anywhere else that I know of. But, yeah, I have no problem with that, and I don't think any of the members do, you know, increasing if that's going to help you get more volunteers and bring in more of those children that need that.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for your support over the years. And I'm very excited to be here. We just found out we are getting a grant for an overnight bag project. So we're purchasing, we've received a grant of $3,000, so we're buying duffel bags for teens and children and working with the department and other foster organizations for every child that comes into care, because most of these children have a plastic bag instead of a duffel bag. So it'll be nice to work with these as well. So there's a lot of exciting you know, projects that we're working on, and I'm very happy to be here. So
thank you for coming. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Any other questions? No?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So let's see, next on the agenda is let's do the library. Is that okay? Library Association.
Sure. Thank you.
I just want to say quickly, thank you for inviting me to that dinner. I had a very lovely
time.
It
was
time.
A pleasure.
It was
yeah, and I wish I could have been there. I was away, so.
It was excellent.
I was upset that I wasn't able to come.
You guys, you know, people who get involved, as you do, get involved in everything. So I understand you're all very busy
That's
people.
True. That's true.
You know, you want something done, ask a volunteer, like, who's already committed.
Yeah, no way.
October 20th, maybe it was a Monday evening.
Excuse me.
And you did get in touch.
Yeah.
Because even Pam couldn't make it because
her
board meeting was that
night. So. Yeah. You missed a really good dinner, sorry.
Yeah.
So I'm Margie Menard. I'm the president of the Ulster County Library Association. These are three of my colleagues, Kara Lustiger from the West Hurley Library, Julie Dempsey from the Highland Library, and Pam Stocking from the Ellenville Library. And just to give you a sense, we are 4 of 20. So imagine 5 times as many of us sitting around this table. We're the folks that have the privilege of administering the libraries that serve the communities in Ulster County. There's 21 libraries. And we come to you guys for support of our digital resources. Years ago, as Dave can tell you, funding was handled differently. Things have changed and evolved in the library world, as well as, unfortunately, you know, funding availability. But I think the Ulster County Legislature and libraries have come to a really wonderful and productive agreement where the funding that we're given goes to what we call our info portal, and that is a suite of online resources that patrons countywide can access equally. So the folks in Pine Hill are getting exactly the same service as the people in Kingston through these resources. And when we started, we were buying different resources than we're having now. In the years that we've been doing this, the idea of e-books and e-audiobooks, downloadable audiobooks, have just exploded. It wasn't really even on our radar when we first started doing this, and now we just can't get them fast enough. People want to, I mean, I'm using them myself a lot. I'm sure a lot of you are as well. Some of the other services that we're offering are Mango language learning for people who want to learn another language or support the classes that they're taking at school. We have some new resources. We're now providing online legal documents for people who want to, you know, have a bill of sale or will documents that they want to try to fill out on their own. They can download those online, fill them out, and have them. Let's see, what else am I looking at here? Chilton's. We have Chilton's, which is a automotive repair documents that people can look up and fix their own cars, save a little money that way. And one of the things, I guess, that I want people to know is that
as libraries evolve, our mission is reaching beyond our walls. People are still using our libraries heavily for programs. You know, they're being supported by Artsmith Hudson and so on. But people are also looking for their library resources where they are, whether they're commuting on a train or at their homes or wherever. So this info portal provides that service. It's remote access to e-books and language learning and legal documents and all of these things. And they're well supported here. I also want to point out, like I said, you know, Pine Hill residents get the same that Kingston gets, and no one of these 21 libraries could provide all of this independently. We take the money and we leverage it for economies of scale. We can go together to get a good price, and then we actually work even further with the Mid-Hudson Library System to get an even better price on these. So the money that we use gets us so much more than those actual dollars would. And this year we're asking for an increase to pay for Brain HQ, and I'm sure you've all heard of similar products that are online, sort of brain training and you know, things for, I want to say older people, but frankly I feel like I could use them. They're kind of keeping your brain sharp, practicing, you know, memory training, that kind of thing. And people are asking us for those products. And we'd like to provide them online so that people can have them at home.
And what increase are you asking for? How much is...
Well, we got $74,250 last year. We're asking for $79,725 this year, so that's about...
$74,250 for the last 4 years?
It has been level funding, and it has supported what we've been using very well, but we would like to expand
right.
it, so it's about $5,500.
As a point of information, back in, I think, 2007, they were getting $130,000.
Yeah.
I believe it was 130. But then it was done by, you know, what we did was it gave money to each library by the number of residents in the area. And the problem with that is some libraries have taxing districts, some libraries didn't have taxing districts, and it became a, but anyway, when we redid this, back at that point, one of the things we examined was the funding for the library, and they ended up being cut, you know, in half. And as a result, they actually began creating this instead, which is a much better model than what was done before. I mean, the model works, and, you know, I know a lot of people that are beginning to use that. Well, you know, you're getting more people using it. I have a friend that is, you know, like I have one of my vehicles, it's an older vehicle. I have a 1999 Mazda little truck, and if I need to get it fixed, he's the guy I call. But, well, he, you know, I told him about this, and he loves it, so he, you know, began using it. So I personally benefited from it because he uses that to bring down some information on fixing my old vehicle. But anyway, in other words, I would, you know, and I did, you know, I know very well that, you know, the cost of those programs have gone up.
They do.
And I know you've cut a couple of them that were not used as much, so you've been constantly, you know, tweaking and retweaking what you're doing. So, you know, like I would support that increase, no hesitation.
Yeah, and you know... The Pew Research Center has shown that millennials, that generation of people, are actually more likely than any other generation to use their libraries. So these are people who are up and coming and looking to their libraries. You know, it's not senior citizens who grew up with their libraries and have that, you know, ingrained passion for libraries, and they do. But there's this whole new generation who are looking to their libraries, and they're looking to their libraries to serve them where they are. And that's what this
does.
Kids,
right. I
what makes that good, though, is the idea that now you cannot, no one library can do that.
Absolutely not. No one library can do this independently.
Because it would be way too expensive for them to be able to pull that off.
And so we are very, very appreciative of the funding that we get because... You know,
and what we like about this one is that all the funding goes towards... a service.
Yes. None of it goes to staffing or heat or anything like that. Not that there wouldn't be a role for that for another organization, but we have chosen to use it this way, and it's worked really well for us. It provides equity across the county.
Does it even supply cookies?
No. We have to make our own cookies.
And you have cookbooks that tell you how to do it.
Exactly. We have really good cookbooks that tell you how to do it, even online. So I'm happy to answer any questions. If any of you have anything you want to add to
that? You've sent us the proposal prior, but unfortunately what happened was the young lady that usually the Vaughn web was thrown in at the last moment.
Oh, so that, yes.
And so we don't have the, you know, the backup information that we had. Actually, we had it last month, and then we were, you know, we advised them to bring it back for this fund, but what happened was we...
I have a single copy of it here that I'm happy to leave.
We'll pass that around and then we'll include it and we'll make sure everybody gets a copy of it again. We'll have Nettie send it out again.
Great.
Yeah, we do have it.
Okay.
So no other questions?
Thank you.
We appreciate your time.
Yeah, nice seeing you again. So right on the dot at 5:30, we have Cornell Cooperative.
Yes, hello.
See, I called it perfect, right?
You really did. That's impressive. So I'm here. My colleague kind of pitched it for me last month.
I'd say he did a very, very good job.
He did a good job. So I was happy that he could do that. That was wonderful. So I'm here to kind of give you guys some updates, let you know where we're at in terms of funding, and hopefully make a strong pitch for why an additional $40,000 would be really useful to us in this particular moment. So I would say my biggest pitch right now is, on top of all the other great things that we described that I will talk about in a moment, our federal funding for the Tech Wizards Mentoring Program, which has been one of our strongest programs. It's been running for about 4 years now in both Kingston and Allenville, has served up to 60 kids at its height when it was robustly funded.
Turns out I have to stay for my personal life once again suffers.
I'm not trying to skip anybody.
No, it turns out I have to stay anyway.
I was going to have him go first, but then it didn't matter. So
just hear about our awesome program. You can view it as an opportunity. So our Tech Wizards program, which, as I've mentioned, it involves mentors. We actually have, like, more mentors than we've ever had at our Kingston site. We maintain a 1-to-4 ratio with our kids. So these are tech professionals who are showing up once a week for an hour and a half to work with our kids and really providing them with this amazing service. Anyway, we find out 2 weeks before the funding was supposed to begin again that, in fact, we're not going to get funded at all, and all the sites have been cut. So that's been really hard, because 2 weeks is not enough time to basically make a contingency plan when you're... So that's $35,000 a year, or it's really a 14-month grant cycle, so there's a little bit of overlap time. So at its height, it was 46. That was when it was robustly funded, and it's been as low as 30, and sometimes they monkey around with that money a little bit. I know the county continues to have to keep picking up where the federal government and where the state government aren't doing what they should be doing and supporting what they should be doing. But this program has really made a significant impact, I think, for kids. And if you allow me to, I had the unhappy job all afternoon of having to tell the kids that the program that they've been in is, you know, the funding's ending for it in December and we're going to do everything we can. But I did... Maybe I'll actually just let you guys read some of them, if that works for you. You want me to highlight a couple things? So this was one that was...
They're all heartfelt.
They're all heartfelt. There's one or two jokers, but sometimes adolescent boys, you know, joke around. So
why is the funding...
So that's a great question, Dave, and I wish that somebody would give me a straight answer. I think the answer is that the federal... basically, the funding was through the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention. So I think it's that the federal government priorities are changing, and therefore OJJDP has very different funding available. So this program is in 47 of the 50 states, and they've basically decided that, so in our state alone, we probably have I want to say at least 8 or 9 sites. They've decided in each state you can only have 2 sites. So they pretty much have axed, I mean, not just in our state, but throughout. I'm actually asking a lot of questions because I said, these letters weren't actually addressed for you guys. This is going to go to the Fed, so I'm going to take them back. But I'm trying to get an answer on, so who is it who made the decision to only go down to 2 sites per state
and
2 weeks
what,
before
two
the funding? So it's going to be Broome and New York City is what they decided on. Now, they are somewhat, they haven't actually given great reasoning for why they chose those 2 sites, but they are more senior than our sites, and some of the lead program staff are in those 2 counties. So that would be my assumption. I thought these were 2 of the better ones. I'm going to give you kind of just a minute to look through some of their letters. There's also, you know, some jokester adolescent boys. This is only for half of our site, so we haven't done the Kingston site yet. But, Jim, I'm going to leave a couple here for you as well, if you want to just kind of take a look and share them and get them back.
How many children do you currently serve in the program?
Say that one more time.
How many children do you currently serve?
We currently serve, I think we are at about 40.
And they're all in Kingston?
They are, nope, half in Kingston, half in Ellenville. These are from the Ellenville youth who are particularly impacted because there really aren't many after-school services there. There's no community center, so I think we're providing a pretty vital service
there. This is a program that we've been looking only because the funding has been so up and down from the federal government, then through the state, then through us. We've been looking to fund in many different ways. The schools find it extremely valuable. They haven't been able to come up with funding for it.
Have you done outreach to the City of Kingston School District, the City of Kingston, the town
yes.
of Ellenville, the Village of Ellenville?
And yes. And some of it is stuff I'm doing right now. So we got the news, you know, less than 2 weeks ago. So I've been trying to get a school meeting with some of the Ellenville folks, and I did meet with the principal of Miller Middle School, which is where our program is being held, and we kind of brainstormed some resource stuff. I also brainstormed some resources today with the middle school kind of guidance counselor who served as our recruitment. You know, we're going, and honestly, I was very impressed. One of the young ladies, Megan, who is in there, she actually said, I'd really like to figure out a way to do fundraising for this. So the kids are, I'm trying to teach them. Right, and they're absolutely invested, and honestly, that came straight from them, whereas I'm trying to say, okay, these are all the ways that I'm trying to get some funding to continue something with you guys. You know, she
That's
got right way. In there and said, can we do a penny social?
Can you scan those? 40,
yeah, absolutely.
You serve 40?
40 youth right now, about 20 in Kingston.
And what's the age?
So they run from, I think, 5th grade is our youngest, to some of our kids have been in the program for 4 years, so now they're in high school. And I think one of the young ladies even mentioned,
now,
you know.
What does the program actually do?
Sure. Great question. So it's focused on STEM. It's basically, when it was designed, it was to get kids who are underrepresented in STEM, so in science, technology, engineering, and math fields, to be more interested in science. So when I explain the program to guidance counselors, I say, you know, this program is looking to serve any of the youth that you deem acceptable for the program, but truthfully, we're really trying to get more young women and young people of color interested in science, technology, engineering, and math, because we've seen those numbers continue. You know, Google just released numbers that they're doing worse than ever on engaging vast swaths of our population, that these are good paying jobs that can really support different communities. So we do that through engaging science experiments. I'll show you guys a picture.
Well,
we train,
it's a volunteer-run program.
Yeah.
So we train volunteers, folks from the community who have an interest in this, many of whom haven't worked with children or whatever, but are willing to share their knowledge, and we train them and give them basic information on youth development, how to talk to kids and those kinds of things, and how to engage them. What we find is that the kids are so interested, and these adults are so interested, sometimes they're college students or whatever, mm-hmm. that they pick up those skills on how to relate to one another really pretty quickly. So we manage that program and provide the training for the adults. They're actually, and then we have different kinds of projects and whatever that are research-based and whatever that we give them to do with the youngsters. So they've been doing some really interesting things. Actually, through the program, we bought a little 3D printer. So they make mm-hmm. things.
They've done coding.
They're doing a lot of coding and whatever. But what I want to tell you is that when we wrote our proposal for the county funding, this wasn't what we were looking for.
Nope.
And we have been talking about this program in our office for the past 4 years about trying to find additional funding for this
so it stands on its own. So we're trying to engage Central Hudson, Verizon, you know, any of the tech companies or whatever. Gates, well, it's hard to get to him.
Yeah, we put in a Best Buy application. That
we did put in an application,
but we've been really
Best
trying
Buy.
To fund this program.
So
in a lot of ways.
Our thought was based on how this program runs, and it's been so successful that in order to reach more of our underrepresented youngsters in the county through after-school programs, because we find that when you're trying to reach underrepresented groups, transportation to wherever you're trying to hold your program is a major, major factor in kids not participating or parents not supporting the program. They either don't have the transportation, they're not going to put their kids on a city bus or whatever. So we're finding that these after-school programs are our best way of reaching youngsters. And obviously it shows in this, because the schools provide the busing for after-school programming, which is great. But when we wrote the proposal, it was to set up this kind of program for additional after-school programs mm-hmm. to specifically, hopefully, reach more of our underrepresented groups. We just had a civil rights audit done for the state. And one of the things that they have found is that our 4-H clubs across the state are not as integrated as they would like us to be, and that we need to do more work on attracting more underrepresented groups to our program. So when we put this together, that's what we were looking to do with the $40,000, is to do more of this after school, but they're actually 4-H clubs. and using that 4-H club model, which has been thoroughly researched and proves to be one of the best ways of working with youngsters and getting them to see positive behavioral change. So, but we want to do it through the schools, because we figure we can pull the parents in that way, and we can pull the children in that way as well. And it just happened that we found out 2 weeks ago that this program was hit by a... I have to tell you, there is nothing more frustrating. We work with a lot of grants and contracts. Mm. There's nothing more frustrating than finding out mid-year or 2 weeks before you're ready to start that the funding's been cut. So I tend to shy away sometimes from the federal and state funding, because those are the programs that have cut us midstream and whatever. But be that as it may, that money was there. It was extremely popular with the young, and I think it's had extreme benefits, not only for the kids, but for the adults who work with the kids.
Those aren't adults that would be serve as club leaders. That's the other thing. We've also engaged adults that we never have engaged before, like young tech professionals is not historically who have been our 4-H club leaders.
College students and whatever.
Right.
So
yeah.
Hopefully we're going to find the funding for this program, and we're going to, if we get the additional money, we could use that to backstop this and whatever,
and
keep this going. As we look for additional funding for this, and then we can enhance the programming that we already have. We already reach out. We work out really well with the schools, but we're finding that the schools are under. We work for the Century 21 program in the Kingston schools, where we were serving hundreds of youngsters in after-school programs when the school had the Century 21 funding. The school lost that funding. They found us valuable enough, the teachers did, and the school administration, to keep that program going for another 8 years. That funding just now has been cut. The schools are having a tough time in providing this kinds of stuff. They're more than willing to work with us on this basis, but trying to get them to fund it has been a struggle as well. So we're thinking that this could serve both needs, both the schools and us as well, in reaching the kids that we want to reach, but we can't do it through the communities. So that is the purpose behind this. The state right now is doing a program called Help 4-H Grow that Melanie's got information on, where nationally and statewide they're doing this huge publicity campaign and branding to get folks to understand the 4-H program in its modern sense. A lot of folks think of 4-H as, they used to say 4-H ain't all cows and cooking. And some people don't know that how modern the program is and how it reaches folks at where they're at and where they are right now. I'm really nervous about this. But first of all, we contribute to it. We contributed to it last year. But my question back to the state folks doing this is great. You know, you're looking to bring in thousands more folks into the program. However, this program only runs if you can staff it and if you have professionals who are providing the training for the volunteers and whatever. Where's the help for that? Because right now we're at capacity with 4-H clubs and 4-H club members. We just don't have enough. We don't have enough folks to train them well. And if we're not going to train these leaders well, we're not going to train them, because getting folks into a not well thought out program where they have backstopping and support and whatever, especially when they're working with children, could be disastrous. So we've seen that. That's not what we do here. Our programs are very strong. Our leaders are well trained. They have to provide, we provide hours of training for them to become a leader, and then they have to continue in their quest to learn about child development and those kinds of things as well. So that's where this came from. You know, the $350,000 that we have been getting from the county works to help support all of our baseline programs. We thank you very much for the support that you've given us. We look forward to working with the county on our environmental programs and coming into the future as well. So we're ready, raring to go. Our nutrition programs are very strong, totally funded by grant dollars, as well as our Relatives as Children program, where we're providing support for relatives who find themselves raising their grandchildren, cousins, sisters, brother. It's amazing the numbers that are in. That's a totally grant-funded program as well. As a matter of fact, we're funding that with three different grants, and that's what we're doing with a lot of our programming now. So we are absolutely looking for more dollars to support this kind of programming. What we're finding is finding dollars to support a 4-H club program, whether it's in school or out, is a really difficult sell. Finding money for more of the tech kinds of things tends to be a little bit easier, but it takes time. And again, the notice that they gave us was just abysmal. You can fight them, but the money's not there coming from the feds. So, you know, we can complain all we want to the state, but they don't have the money to make it up as well. I will tell you that the new executive director has been hired for Cornell Cooperative Extension. I am retiring as of January 31st. I started on January 30th in 1975. So he is a PhD with a background in natural resources, has been doing NGO work in India, working with communities in building water sources and whatever, has a great background and a really good understanding of extension and the kind of programming that we do. We will cross each other. He starts January 1st. I'm leaving the 31st. So that was done by design so that I can give him insight into the kinds of programming that we do. He actually is local. Hails from Saugerties. Saugerties. His name is Jared Buono, and has two young children, and very excited to be starting back here in Ulster County. So
and his mom is too.
She wants those grandchildren. So we're very excited about that. There's a lot of really interesting things happening in cooperative extension. I would like to hand over the reins to Jared, knowing that, you know, he's got the support from the county for the traditional dollars that we get, and then hopefully for this youth programming as well. And again, we might, if we're awarded it, we might start it off with this program to provide the support for that. It's already staffed. And if not, it would be for something like this. And again, in bolstering our 4-H club numbers and helping us to be able to provide the training for the adult volunteers, I think it's just really critical. And the STEM stuff is definitely what's hot. And what interests kids and whatever. It's fun to watch them working with the drones and all the little magnetic stuff that goes around. And
they're making whatever. Slime today, very apropos for
slime.
After,
yeah, oh boy.
After Halloween.
Oh, for Halloween.
Very messy.
So, I mean, I don't know if you have any questions, but that's the reasoning behind the increase. It's looking to bolster our our youth numbers, specifically targeting underrepresented groups in Kingston. And, you know, we've been working at this for a long time, but what we find that is unless you have folks from the community that support this, either through the, you know, churches or their own community groups or whatever, and 4-H is not something that folks are comfortable with in those groups or something that they understand. They know it's connected to government. So in some cases, you know, when you get the return address says government on it and whatever, we're finding that a lot of those folks won't open that, won't look at it, and that in really to be successful in those communities, you have to have folks from those ethnic groups that really understand. I mean, we're finding, you know, when you talk about Latinos, all right, well, the Latinos that you might deal with from Ecuador, or from Guatemala, or from Mexico, or Cuba, don't all have that same background that you might think a Latino does. Okay, Latino, so, you know, you all, you know, have these kinds of foods or this kind of thing or whatever. So what we're finding is that the leveling place for that is actually through the schools, because that's where they all are. And if we can reach them through that, we know that we can bring this to a greater number of youngsters, get them comfortable with the programs, get their parents involved, because parents will come out to see positive things that their children are involved with. And so that's what we're looking to work with the schools to help them with that, and also to be able to provide this kind of opportunity for youngsters. Our club program is strong. The numbers are pretty solid, you know, with folks, kids participating in the fair, public presentations, and whatever. But in order to expand it into these groups, we feel that this is the best way that we can do it. And please be assured that this is extension, so we're looking for money everywhere. But we thought if we could start here and show that the county supports this, it's always easier for us than when we're making a plea to a corporation or whatever. For some reason, they take that. If they think that the county's got an interest in it,
that they're invested,
then they're more than willing to invest with us as well. We have a great track record, I think, in this kind of thing, in extension in all the programs that we do, in being able to deliver what we say we're going to deliver. And we'd love the opportunity to be able to do this.
And if there's any questions, the rest of the deliverables, pretty much all of them were mentioned last month. If you have any questions about them, you know, despite this unexpected and, you know, hit that we're getting from Tech Wizards, I still think we'd be able to do some version of every single one of the things that I mentioned here. So everything from, you know, climate change science
and
to
the public speaking
STEM.
Is so huge.
The what?
Public speaking is
yes,
so huge.
Yes, and we're actually...
It was really such a great experience.
Oh, I'm so glad you came.
Really, yeah.
I'm really glad you came.
It was very impressive.
And it's really eye-opening to see what the kids, especially when you do it year after year, you see those kids grow in a way that you just... it's amazing.
It was exciting to see some of the kids that I saw do the public speaking at the fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you remember them. You're like, I remember you.
You had the duck.
So, yeah, exactly. So, right, Kate, it's good.
I used to do that. I learned so much, like, about horses' jaws. And, you know.
It's such an important skill, and it's going to help them in anything.
Because when you're public speaking about something you care about, that you're passionate about, and stuff, you can speak.
Yes, absolutely.
And you can learn to maybe speak about the other stuff, too, but you know, it gives you a good foundation.
Absolutely.
That is, I don't know, maybe the schools are a little better about it now than they were when I was there, but...
I'm seeing that they're not doing a whole lot. So that's my other thing, is I'd really like to expand. We have this great program. We're actually working on updating it and revising it and making it even more current and exciting for kids. I'm co-submitting a grant with Cornell to do that. And, you know, I wish all of our club members were taking advantage of it. They aren't. So if they're not going to, I'll bring it to schools and say I'd love for you guys to be taking advantage of it. And let's get everybody practicing.
Now, some of the kids moved on to state. How did they do?
State decided not to be competitive this year, so they did well, but it wasn't ranked competition, so they got some really good, important feedback. They also got peer feedback, which was really interesting to see, because it was funny. They presented in front of their peers, then the peers were asked what they thought of the presentation. Now, sometimes their teens, they had totally different feedback than you or I would have about something.
And it was funny because you would listen to them and they would sound really critical when the person was out of the room, and then somebody would come back into the room and they'd be able to still deliver this great feedback that was going to help
without
their
being
peers. Without, right. So when they were out of the room, I was like, oh God, these kids are being a little harsh with each other. Yeah. And then they just totally knew how to deliver it in a way that was, and
productive.
They gave them really
yeah.
different feedback again than you or I. So I love that peer feedback model, and I hope they continue to use that as well.
Yeah, that's good.
And I hope to see you back at public presentations as
an evaluator. Everybody, I really
you'll
really
certainly be invited, yeah. as will anybody else who would like to participate.
Yeah. It was a great, I mean, if you ever get the chance, did you ever do that, Dave? It really, you would really appreciate it as having been a teacher to really
yep.
see. Because that one little guy was like 7.
Yeah.
No, and a
yeah.
little girl was too. She had how to bathe your chinchilla. Was it?
Oh.
Yeah. yeah.
Yes,
that was interesting. And then the little boy had his beagle
no.
who was walking him as he was trying to talk. But it was really so, you know, such a good foundation thing to be so young and to. They really took it in stride, and the cooking demonstrations were really, really eye-opening and amazing, and the difference. And, mm-hmm. and also, it was kind of heartbreaking, too, kind of in a way, because, I mean, it's kind of a level playing field,
yeah.
but you can see some people are, that
yeah.
don't have the financial
yeah.
part of it,
yeah.
and,
yeah.
you know, still doing
still
it.
Still trying, yeah.
You know, still trying.
Yeah.
And it's interesting seeing, like, the dynamics of the family.
Because
mm-hmm. one grandma, they didn't do something they were supposed to do, and she was upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
she does the shopping.
Right.
And so she
right.
kind of felt like, you know, so it's kind of.
Yeah.
But it's a good experience for the kids to
Absolutely.
See that, you know, like, that even though you didn't have control of certain things, you still have to. You're still accountable, and you
yeah.
still have to think
Absolutely.
About it and do it. It was really
Absolutely.
For when they poll 4-H alumni about what is was the most memorable, the most useful thing that they got of the 4-H Youth Development Program. It's almost always for it, but public presentations.
Yeah.
That they talk about, it just and starting kids early is really the key.
Oh yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
we start kids at 5 and they do a show and tell kind of thing. And all of our public presentations are based on something that the kid they start them off with something that you're interested in.
Right.
So you're telling somebody about something that you like.
And that's way
easier.
And it
just makes it so much easier for them to learn the skills they need to use to then turn that around.
Very good. Thank you.
I just have a funny story. I was doing a judging of written documents and
mm-hmm.
the kids of projects they had done.
Yeah.
And we were doing it in teams, and so this gentleman and I were reading this girl's notebook together, and
mm-hmm.
she talked about working on a horse farm, and one of the horses that she was very attached to was older, and it died. And so as I'm reading it, she was so passionate, she wrote it, I'm starting to cry, and I'm thinking,
mm-hmm.
I don't want him to see that I'm actually crying, like being a baby, and all of a sudden we hear him go, and he's crying too. So we were reading the same thing, but it was, you know,
yeah.
it was really, the kids are just amazing.
Yeah.
So the more youngsters we can give that opportunity to, the happier we are.
It's a win-win for all of us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Really is. Thank you.
Thank you guys
Thank
for
you.
All the time. I'm much appreciated. And I will scan you all the letters if
Great.
You want to take them.
Oh, good. Yeah, I would love to read them. Thank you.
They had me crying on them.
I know.
We have our proposal. Do you need any other additional information or whatever?
I'll see what Nettie has.
Yeah. We sent a copy to each
right.
of the legislators
will
on the
we,
committee,
right.
as
will
well
we
as
need
the
them to come
county executive office.
Because we'll have to go to a budget amendment here.
We'll
make a schedule thing.
Done, and then go back and,
okay,
you
know, perfect.
So we can get these taken care of so we have other people.
Yeah, we have a half hour.
We still have a half hour.
Yep, we still have a half hour. Yep.
They
moved our, because this was going to be kind of full, they moved it to 6:30. So.
If
right.
you need additional copies or whatever, just let me know.
Great,
thank
you.
Thank you. We know where
okay.
to find
you. Yeah. So do we have a motion to approve the minutes of August 7th?
So
Second?
Second.
There we go. Thank you. Did everybody get a chance to check the minutes? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so that is passed. Let's see. Our first resolution is... Number 419, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county. Didis Kathleen H. Office for the Aging. Did you have anything to say?
No, this is a two-year contract.
That's a that's per legal services,
yes.
right?
So,
it's $50,000.
Yeah,
Dave's moving it.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? No? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion carried. Was that just one? Okay, great. Okay. Okay, resolution 420, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Gateway Community Industries Office for the Aging.
It's a Meals on Wheels program, right?
It's a component of the Meals on Wheels, the case manager for
part of it, right?
There's three components. We've broken into three components this year.
All right, I move it.
Second. Any more discussion? No? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Go, Dave. Okay, resolution 438, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 10 of 2017, a local law amending local law number 7 of 2008, a local law to provide for an exemption for real property taxes for real property owned by veterans who rendered military service to the United States during the Cold War, to be held on Tuesday, December 12th, 2017 at 6:15 p.m.
This is due to some changes in the... State law allowing you.
So you're going to move it, Dave?
Essentially makes the current exemption permanent.
Right. Oh, good.
Okay. Second. Okay. Yep. Discussion?
No, currently they have to renew every 10 years.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, geez, sorry. Okay. Motion carried. Resolution 439, authorizing the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute a grant application with required assurances for the state. For the New York Connects program with the New York State Office of the Aging.
Yep, I'll move it.
Move it.
Second.
Any discussion?
No.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you. Oh, this is the minutes. Okay. So, any old business? No.
Well, actually, you will take care of the one to read the increases that they want.
Okay.
And if you wish to, I mean, the Mid-Hudson Arts, we've been, we've been trying to push mm-hmm. them up a little bit at a time each year. So
they asked for 10%,
yeah,
which would make it $78,750.
Right, and does anybody have any problem with supporting
it?
No,
I certainly
don't. I support it.
All right, so then why don't we'll put something together for our, if you put something together when we go through our budget process, I think we need some
because they're scheduling those
and
now,
the,
right?
And the CASA is requesting a percentage increase.
They're asking for $3,950, and last year more. They got 36,000 last year.
Right. I mean, I can support that also.
I can support that also.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's unanimous.
So then we, yes on that. And the same thing with the libraries. The libraries haven't had an increase in many years.
Yep.
Now, the Cordell Cooperative, I don't know, it's, and did she or any of them have any discussions with the county executive on that? I think they probably should have a conversation with the county executive on that.
It's pretty hefty. I can write some more letters for you to read that'll make you cry.
Right. No, that's what you're saying. But I mean, in other words, I support that aspect of it all.
But again, I can't speak to this program. I know it's it's run by volunteers. I don't know how much of it's really overhead for the organization. This tech spits. I mean, this is the type of funding you normally would fund through a school district. Again, I'm not aware that they've ever applied to the youth borough for funding, like the Boys and Girls Club or other types of programming. So
right.
Would you be able to look into that again?
And just let me say that the tech part was not included in their original asking for $40,000 last month. Because they only just became aware of it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well,
so
they were going to get that money.
Right. So they didn't ask for any... Losing this program, they didn't ask for anything more additional than they asked for 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So I just wanted to
bring
that
they
to...
They were looking at enhancing the tech program.
They were looking at... Well, I don't know. I don't think necessarily, but it was... They were looking to expand the after-school public speaking and the environmental ed programming outside of the watershed, because the funding now has to be, you can't do it outside of the watershed if it's a watershed program. And the training conference, and they wanted to do, start a healthy iron, junior Iron Chef event and expand the ag literacy program. So they had a lot of areas that they were trying to use that $40,000 for. So
can I just ask for clarification? For Mid-Hudson, CASA, and the libraries, you want me to have Amber prepare a budget amendment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
that'll be a budget amendment coming from the committee, yes.
Committee. Okay, and do you want to move money from anywhere, or you just want to...
Well, we'll look at that.
Okay.
We'll do that, where that'll come from. I mean, so at this point, it could be just, you know, from contingency, but, I mean, we'll look at if there's other, you know, what we don't know
that
until our budget people come in and give us, you know...
Right.
Because, he, you know, as good a job as Mike does, he's relying on the information he has up to that point.
Right.
And what happens is when we get that budget, new information comes
in. We're
a
little further down the road.
So, I mean, you know, as a result, so, in other words, we have the, in a sense, the luxury of getting information that he doesn't have quite yet. I mean, that's the reality of the budgeting process. So we'll, you know, I think we'll probably look at that, you know, once our budget analyst comes in and does his, you know, does his magic and comes back and says, here's what you got, you know, he meets with the executive and they kind of come up with whatever they have, and then we'll see where it went.
So,
I mean, I think we can put that in and then we'll
So
we'll
just to be a stickler, would you have a motion and a second, and you all supported that, right? I mean,
yes,
each one of them.
Yep.
Okay.
As far as Cornell, then you're going to reach out to them, or how's that?
Or have them reach out to you?
I guess. I mean, you know, I met with them at this point, you know, before we submitted the executive budget. They didn't come in.
And you didn't meet with them? No.
So. All right. So maybe you can call or tomorrow and tell them to reach out to Ken.
Because I think really where we stand, probably we all stand on this, that we would love to do this, but what we can actually do and what we can't do is going
to
come down to,
well,
what we can do.
What the money is involved in. And I'm not sure, and I'd like, you know, like sometimes we have, Cornell does a great job, don't get me wrong.
And they've also been flat budget for the past few years.
Yes, they've done a great job, and, you know, it's really... a low-cost economic development when you take a look at the grants they bring in and the people they employ and all that stuff. I mean, you're really looking at the big picture. You know, our investment in them is a good investment. So
maybe the one way you can look at it is that while other funders have decided to cut their funding, Ulster County government has maintained their funding for all these years. So maybe that's another way to look at it.
Right.
And I mean, and they are different in a sense than like the arts, where we cut in half at one point. In other words, we've been in the process in the last few years because of the, you know, the county executive's budget, who's been, no matter what, no matter what differences I may have with them, he doesn't.
But unfortunately, she also has a point where the county supports it does carry weight.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But we can only do what we can do, so.
We come back in December and
that's another.
There's unlimited need, right? Like for anything you can imagine.
Well, we let it see. I mean, if they let them have a conversation and let's see what happens there.
Certainly, this Tech Smiths program is the first I've heard of this program. So.
Mm-hmm. So, do we have any new business? Other than, no? Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
And it is 6:07.
Good night.
And, all right, Jennifer, are you all set then?
I'm here, yes, I'm listening.
Okay. All right, they just adjourned the meeting, so I'm going to, just going to say goodbye then.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I couldn't get there, and I had to... My card.
Card.
Yeah. Where that is card. So thank you for including me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.